Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jenny, and
Elora.
We both attend Laytonville High School. Today our topic is education beyond the classroom. As young people, we spend a huge amount of time in classrooms. We are taught the basic skills that our society considers essential for wakeful, productive citizens. For some students, this is an easy, fulfilling time. For others, it is often unpleasant and frustrating. Either way, it is what we generally consider to be the core of our education. Outside of the classroom, we are frequently learning practical skills from our parents and elders. Some of us are learning work skills at part-time jobs that will be the basis of our careers. Some of us are developing our personal passions, whether it is skateboarding or writing poetry. Sometimes listening to older people tell their stories is an educational experience. Sometimes working with younger people gives us the opportunity to learn many new things. Going to a different region and seeing in different cultures can lead us to realize a great deal about ourselves. A few weeks ago, a group of 10 Laytonville High students took an educational trip to Washington, D.C. The Travel Experience Club raised money for the trip with bake sales and other fundraising activities, as well as generous community donations. Our group was led by Rick Kell, a Laytonville High teacher, and Jayma Shields, who works with Healthy Start and Peer Counseling, and was one of the original hosts of You Speaks Out over 10 years ago. I went on the trip with 9 other juniors and seniors, and we spent 5 days exploring our nation's capital. I also spend part of every year visiting relatives in China. Part of what we will discuss today is how travel and being in different places is an exciting form of education. This is not limited to exotic trips going from Laytonville to Ukiah or Fort Bragg to Santa Rosa. It can be quite a change of culture. In some ways, gaining a new perspective is the true goal of all education. But we also want to talk with you about other ways that we are educated outside the classroom. There's a Chinese proverb that says a single conversation with a wise person is better than 10 years of study. Community service can be a good way to learn skills and expand horizons. For example, working on stream restoration can be hands-on, education, biology, economics, and history. Helping an elderly lady can lead to learning about different eras and places. Both Elora and I know the value of working with grammar school students. When we open the phone lines in 20 minutes or so, we would like to hear from you about the ways in which you have been educated outside the classroom. We would like to hear about specific educational opportunities in our region for young people and for adults as well. We want to hear if it is true that everything you need to know you learn in kindergarten, as Robert Fulghum wrote. We'll start this part of the show by talking about what we have learned by traveling outside of Laytonville, Long Valley, and Mendocino County. Elora, where have you gone that stands out in your mind as an educational experience?
Well, I remember a couple years ago, I went with my family. We flew into Chicago, and it was so different there. It was really, really cold, and living here, you don't really get that cold below like 30, and it was negative 10 degrees there when we were there. We went to the Museum of Natural History, and we just learned about like all the different cultures and like how the land was different, and we saw all these like giant dinosaurs. Like, I never realized how like big they were, and like it was so different to me. And I know you like go to China, and how is that different for you?
It's just like a big culture shock, basically. Like, when you're in Laytonville, you're in a small community, a small town, and you know you know everybody, and everybody's you know, you can drive down the street and just wave to every car that goes by. And in China, you like, it's just so rare to go to the supermarket and see somebody that you know, and it's just like you don't even know people in your own apartment buildings. But you know, I love it there. It's just because there's just so many different opportunities and places you can go to, but it's just this big culture shock. And you know, the customs there are so different as well. You know, we were talking about this before the show, where, like, there's no crosswalk, so you basically just run across the street. And I know you were talking about that when you went to Chicago, was it the same there too?
It's not like there's no crosswalks. It's just that cars don't have to stop for you. So, like, you have to be really careful there. Even when you're, like, in a car trying to get across the highway, people don't really listen to you when you're, like, honking your horn to get across the street. They just go, and, like, there's so many people there that they, like, no one has respect for other people when they're just, like, driving everywhere trying to find places to park and stuff. It's really hard there. Hmm. And, like, living in Laneville where the population is, like, 1,000 people, it's hard to think of that when, especially for people, like, I know kids who've never even been out past, like, Santa Rosa. So it's hard to them to even think about that.
Yeah. I think that a big part of traveling is finding where, like, when you travel outside of Laneville, outside of the country, outside of the county, you realize that, you know, oh, there's a world out here, you know, besides Laneville or besides California. And it's different. When we went with Travel Experience to Washington, D.C., it was weird to think that you could still be in the United States, but things there were just so different that it was almost like you're in a different country. And there's just so much going on, and it was really cool.
I know you went to a whole bunch of museums there. Which one was your favorite? And I know you went to the Holocaust. What is that about? I never really heard about it much.
The Holocaust Museum, it was this big museum dedicated to all the survivors and, everybody who was involved in the Holocaust. I mean, the Jews and the Gypsies, who were just millions of them killed. And it was really sad to go up there. And on the side of the building, when we walked up, it said, "Remember what you saw here." And it was just the impact of it. It was basically this big building, and you start up at the top, and you just walk down in a spiral. And there were some parts of it where it was just so gruesome that they'd have this big barrier, and so, you know, obviously little kids couldn't look over the barrier and into the screen where they were just showing, like, documentaries and just clips of the Holocaust. It was, I mean, and then there's this big room just filled with shoes, and it was, I don't know, like, that kind of stuff, you don't realize how, like, the impact of it until you're there. And, like, I don't know, it's just something where I was so fortunate I got to go see it, but it's something where you never want to see again. But, yeah. You're so thankful you got to see it because, I mean, it's a big part.
Yeah, I know you were talking about how, like, in the different museums they showed, like, all the different cultures and stuff, but how some were more portrayed than others. Which one was your favorite culture there that you saw?
You know, I didn't really have a favorite culture. When we went to the Smithsonian, a section where it was focused on, like, marine animals, and then there'd be one focused on, North American animals, and, I really liked the marine animals, because it was really neat. They had this big whale, and, it was just neat to be able to see a whole bunch of different animals and different cultures, all in this one museum. It wasn't like some museums where you go, you know, like the African American, museum, or like the animal museum or something. It was nice because everything was together.
Yeah. Did you think that, like, the cultures that had more education, did it affect their artwork and, like, more, like, people would focus more on that than, like, art and, like, agricultural stuff?
I don't really know. When we went, there was the African culture, and they focused a lot on art,
and, like, surviving in agriculture so they could get food there.
Yeah, it was a lot of, we got to see, like, their ceremonial, like, clothes, and a lot of it was focused on art. We didn't see much of, any writing that they did, or I don't know, or any type of tools that they used. It was mainly the artwork that they made and the clothes that they made and the houses and different materials that they used. So, you know, we didn't get to see a lot of, what they were learning about. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So the kids just learned from their parents and, like, they taught them how to use, like, life skills and everything. I know, mm-hmm. in, like, India, they do have writing, and so that there's a lot of people there, and they read holy books and stuff over there. But also, they're so involved in, like, art and henna tattoos that are all over their hands and feet.
You know, and a lot of it is the fact that, you know, 500 years ago, or, you know, in 500 BC, there wasn't a real need for education or learning books. I mean, you wanted to focus on, you know, okay, I'm going to have a family, I'm going to be able to, you know, grow food and support my family and make sure, you know, my livestock is safe or something. And so it's just, you know, this big change, like, how we evolved over time, too.
Yeah. Also, focusing on, like, even in our communities, there's so much stuff we can do, like, even where we can, like, talk to elderly, where we have our elders lunch every month, and you get to go and hear all the old people's stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I know just talking to my grandparents or talking to anybody older than me, my parents, you learn so much because times have changed, and there's a quote here somewhere. oh, my goodness. Oh, the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. So what does that mean to you, Elora?
I think it really focuses on how, like, if you have a really closed mind, that you won't really learn anything. And if you do talk to older people, and you'll see how it was different then, it will show you to how to, like, open your mind and learn new things, whereas you're not as closed-minded and just have your opinion set away.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even for us, I mean, I'm sure that when Elora and I are in our 60s and 70s, there's going to be some great new invention. It's hard to think about now because, you know, you think, oh, well, you know, iPods and cell phones, they're already so advanced that you're thinking, okay, what are they going to come up with next? But if you close your mind to those kind of ideas, I mean, it's never going to happen, and you're never going to be able to take the next step in your life. And so I think that a lot of the time, like, older people, you know, they've been through so much already. I mean, the beginning of the century, you know, cars, and then, you know, computers and iPods and all that kind of stuff.
And recorded music.
Yeah.
My favorite quote on here is, a single conversation with the wise man is better than 10 years of study. I think that's very helpful just because, like, people don't think that if you have a conversation with old people, you'll learn so much from them. Just the way everything was different. Even, like, 10 years ago, a lot of things were different. Computers even weren't even that evolved then. Mm-hmm. And, like, now, like, everyone has one.
Yeah. This kind of reminds me of, you know, like, it's really hard to, you know, if you're learning a language or learning about a culture, I mean, the best thing to do is just go to that country, go to that culture, and just totally immerse yourself. You know, you can study Spanish for 10 years, but the best way to, you know, get it is to go to Mexico or Spain and just totally immerse yourself in their culture. What do you think about that? Like, do you think it's a good idea to go to different countries to get an education?
Well, I have, I do take Spanish, and we have a friend from Mexico, and, like, everything we learn in Spanish has, like, nothing to do. Their slangs are different. Everything's different. And if you actually go there, you'll learn so much more. Like, even words are different just because the textbooks here that we have, they're so outdated to what mm-hmm. happens every year there.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, helping anybody here will even help. I know helping kids in our community will learn so much from them, too. I know we are both part of a buddy group where we tutor the younger kids, and they teach me so much. Like, I remember a couple of days ago, this little kid, he was doing his math, and I could not help him. I could not even mm-hmm. remember, because it just evolves, like, every year.
Yeah.
I know that even in the summertime, they try and have things that will help you learn just, like, how to do normal skills, like having kids and, like, taking care of people. Through our Healthy Start program, we have a summer program where there's a whole bunch of kids, and you just, like, learn how to take care of them and have fun. Like, we learn how to do a whole bunch of art, and we teach them how to read and, like, have a lot of fun. I know that's really fun for me.
You know, a large percentage of your education isn't, you know, revolving around school and getting up in the morning and going to school. A lot of it is just basic life experience. Let's see. Mark Twain said, "I've never let my schooling interfere with my education," which is funny. You know, what's the difference between schooling and education to you?
Well, I mean, education, you learn everything. I mean, from when you're really little, you learn how to walk. Schooling is a very basic, just gets you through to even live your life. Like, schooling is just like the beginning. Everything happens before and during and after. Like, when after you get out of school, you have to figure out what you want to do, what your goals are, and then, like, we were learning about how, like, people were saying how that if you learn in school, you may not figure out what you want to do. You could go to school, get your degree in math, and then be a dance teacher, or just learn things that you loved as a kid and forgot about.
Yeah. For me, schooling is, you know, exactly what Elora said, where, you know, you go to school and you learn math, you learn English. Education starts from the minute you're born to the minute you die. Like, it doesn't, you don't even have to go to school to have, you know, an education, because education happens every single day of your lives. Like, you learn how to tie your shoe, you learn how to change your car tire, you know, that kind of stuff. Not necessarily is being, you know, you're not necessarily going to learn that at school.
We have to remember how privileged we are, though, because in the United States, we do have free schooling. I know we have a friend in Guatemala who, her kids have been playing as much to go to kindergarten, like third grade, and all those, like even grade school, as much as people here would pay to go to college. And most people don't go to school past fourth grade. They have to be working at least two jobs if they even wanted to go to school. And that's just to live their lives there.
Which definitely, we're so fortunate to be in a place where education is free.
And people sometimes take advantage of it, but we, like, I bet kids there would give anything just to have a regular education, like learn how to read and write. Even, like, even for them, like, we have no idea. I had a friend come down from, everything's so different. Like, she came down from Santa Barbara, and she came down here, and she's like, wow, there's wild turkeys out here. And it was so different for me, because, like, I see turkeys every day on my road. And she just said, like, seeing them in zoos and stuff, and in, like, museums. And it's so, like, weird to me, like, how I never think about what other people's perspectives are, and, like, how much I need to open my mind, even just to, like, people who live a couple hours away from me. And, like, even the people in our town, like, they could have had different lives than us, and, like, helping them is very fortunate for our schools and everything. We had our food drives and penny drives at our school this year, and we helped a lot of people who are less fortunate than us. And our school is very involved in our community, and we try and help as much as we can. I know that we're going to try and have a garden next year at our school, because our food isn't that great, but we want to have, like, better salads and stuff. And so we're trying to get involved in that. And I know that a lot of students are very enthused, and they want to help a lot. Also, Jenny, you were saying how in China you said it was really different. Even the food, is it, like, different to you? Like, is it, like, you wouldn't even think about it. But do you feel that the food there, like, is different for you? Does it, like, I don't know how to say this. Like, some people, if they go to a different country, it's hard for them to eat the food.
Yeah.
Is it, like, because some people, even the food just changes their lives so much. Like, you think about it, some people are shorter or different, like, size because of what their food they eat. Is it harder for you to eat the food there?
No. I mean, there are a lot of stuff there that I can't eat, like raw shrimp and stuff. But for the most part, I can. I think a lot of it is based on because I've eaten it since I was a baby and a kid. But, you know, that does bring up a good point that the different kind of foods you eat does, you know, like, show in your height or your size. And when we went to D.C., when we went to the Smithsonian Museum, there was, I think it was Arabian or something culture in 500 B.C., and the average size for a man was around 5'5", and the average size for a woman was around, you know, 5'1". And it's just changed because now if you see Middle Eastern people, they're not, you know, they're 5'6", 5'7", 5'8", you know, they're taller. And it was it was a big shock because you're thinking, you know, what changed in their diet to make them, you know, it's just, it was weird to think, you know, people get taller and taller and taller.
Yeah, even here, like, people are so much taller than they are there, and you just don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And with food, do you garden at your house? Because we learn how, when we're really little, even people there, they learn how to garden. That's one of the skills that they learn, even if they don't go to school. And I know here, it helps us learn so much. Like, if we want to grow up and, like, be a farmer and take care of land, we learn everything when we're just with our parents up here. And some people in different countries who, like, live in cities, they may have, like, a little window flower or something. And it's so weird and different to you. Well, and, oh, go ahead.
And, you know, it's a really essential part of life, too. I think in this era, we've kind of taken, you know, the supermarket for granted. We've taken, you know, the, you know, Safeway across, or Geiger's or something. We've just always, you know, we think, oh, okay, there's always going to be food there that we can buy. But, you know, we've kind of lost touch with, you know, growing our own food. I know plenty of people still grow their own food, and that's wonderful. But, you know, a lot of people have taken that for granted.
Yeah. And even with, like, housing, I know it's so weird to people. Like, they buy a house, and they're like, oh, look, it's my house. At my house right now, my room is being reconstructed. We're doing one of the walls as a cob plaster. And it's so weird. My mom she's really, like, been working on it really hard. And it's, like, so different because it's made out of, like, mud and straw, and you don't even think about that. But people's houses, they used to be just made out of all of that, like, materials from the ground and earth and stuff. And, like, houses today are made out of, like, foam and like, fake wood. And that's so different to us because, like, people there, they think that's so normal. Like, in the cities and stuff, and out here, everyone's houses are built out of wood and, like, cement and stuff. We don't even think about it.
You know, definitely. I think that different parts of the world, you know, they have their advantages. And, you know, for us living in Laytonville, you know, we do have a lot of that hands-on experience where, you know, we were talking about this earlier, reconstructing, you know, streams and rivers. And, but, you know, and then in the city, you don't get that kind of stuff. But in the city, you also have a lot more, you know, opportunities. You know, it's just basically like a little world. So I think that every, you know, different parts of the world, different parts of this country have their own, you know, uniqueness about them.
Yeah. And I think something that's very important is community service. Like, everyone thinks that, oh, I help so much. But when you think about it, you can volunteer anywhere. But if you really, like, volunteer for something good, like even doing this radio show, we talk to people and talk to each other about things that involve us and give people even an open-mind view of how we think about things as teens in our community.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of the things that you think is a great community service?
Oh, I think, you know, anything that involves other people. You know, like you said earlier, we had a food drive at our community, or excuse me, at our school during Thanksgiving. And, you know, it just feels good to be able to, you know, donate food and help people. I mean, especially in this community, you know, it's such a small community, but we really do help each other a lot. And I think that that's something that's really important. And then a couple months ago, we did the penny drive where we, I mean, obviously it wasn't just pennies. We could just donation to leukemia patients. And it's, I think, how much money did we raise?
We raised probably around, like, I don't know, $500 probably, or a little more.
Yeah, I know each class, it turned into a competition, see which class can donate the most. And it really worked. We donated a lot of money. But it's just that kind of stuff where you're helping people is really important. I mean, obviously, you don't need to help people. You don't need to have, you know, try to help people on the world level. But, I mean, if you try to help people in your community, in your county, in your, you know, city, it really does make a difference. I mean, you don't need to set your goals so high. I mean,
I know, and we never think about it, but we are so thankful for the people that help us, and they're just doing their, like, community service. Like, they're helping us so much. Like, our Laytonville Fire Department is all pretty much volunteers, and people who volunteer for, like, when there's, like, sicknesses going around, like, during the winter stuff, we have people volunteer at the clinic, I think, and, like, that's really helpful. Like, you never think about the little things that people do that help everybody.
I mean, going back to the Washington, D.C. trip, we started out with, you know, close to nothing in our account. And within 3-4 months, we had $6,500, and that was from the community. Like, I think that's a lot of money from, you know, our community, and we're just so fortunate to have such a nice, close community to help us with that kind of stuff.
I feel that, like, because we do help out a lot in our communities as being students, there's so many opportunities for us too. Like, I wanted to volunteer at the clinic so I can get hands-on experience working with patients and, like, working with other people, like doctors and nurses and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that would, like, really move you to volunteer with?
I think anything, you know, different people have different passions. You know, helping at a vet clinic, you know, dealing with animals, helping, you know, after school at school for student commission, we had something called cleanup day where after school, on a certain day, we'd go around and help clean up the community. And it really helped. And it's that kind of stuff that, you know, helps the community. And it makes you feel happy that you're able to give back to the community a little bit.
Yeah, and that you're a part of everything that happens around. It makes you feel, like, complete and, like, I don't know, it makes you feel very helpful.
Really. So, we are going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call. Please call if you have ideas about education beyond the classroom. What percentage of your education occurred away from school? Did you travel much as a young person? Do you take your children outside of your local community to learn how other people live? Do you take them to the Bay Area to see museums and multicultural events? Did you learn much by just listening to older people? In what ways is the internet an educational boon? Do you think that it is a good idea that many young people spend 6 or more hours per day on the internet and texting each other? What educational opportunities exist here in Mendocino County for young people outside the regular classrooms? Should travel and field trips be a regular part of our educational system? Can you remember an event outside the classroom that was a profound educational experience? Please call 456-9991. Your ideas and opinions are very important.
When you're talking about the field trip stuff, I know we just took our whole school to the beach, and it was so much fun. And, like, we learned so much about, like, even the wildlife there, because we were, like, looking at all the shells and, like, seeing all the starfish, because it was a really low tide when we went there. Like, it was extremely low. Mm-hmm. And so we got to see all the anemones and stuff. And some kids had never even known that, like, when you touch an anemone, it squirts little water at you. And it was very fun for all of us. Like, we were very fortunate. Most schools can't do that, but ours being so young, so small. we're able to do things like this. And that's why I think our community is so very fortunate.
Yeah. I mean, and also it goes back to education and schooling. You know, so much of our education is based on hands-on experience. You know, I play the piano, and it's really important to know, you know, you can study the piano for 5 years. You can watch every concert that's on TV. You can, you know, read about it. Like, okay, this note is C, this note is D. You can read about all the, you know, all the notes and all the pieces. But until you really start practicing, you don't know anything about the piano. And it's the same with school. Like, you can read about, you know, Spain. You can read about everything they do there. But until you really immerse yourself in their culture, you know, you don't really know about it.
And when the thing comes practice makes perfect, I don't think you're ever perfect, because you're always improving on what you do and what you learn. Until you die, like, you always are learning something new. And that's what being open-minded is all about, is you want to learn everything that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone number is, if you want to call in, 456-9991. We will really enjoy your calls.
You know, and also for those of you who are older, you know, what was school like when you were in school? Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Oh, hi. I forgot to turn my radio on. Just a sec. Sorry. I just wanted to say that as a person just coming out of my first year of college, about 35 years ago, I did begin traveling a lot, and I think that it was at least 50% of my education, or what enabled my later education, because I knew how to do the kind of academic learning that is taught in school. Mm-hmm. I was very good at that, but I really didn't have a lot of social intelligence and emotional and psychological intelligence. And it was very important, I'm glad you've mentioned, having hands-on experience, learning to make things and do things physically with my hands was a very important part of becoming a really wholly educated person. So it seems really critical, especially at this time of life on the planet, that people become more aware that intelligence needs to be fostered in all these areas so we can continue to, you know, get along with each other and make the planet a better place. So thanks so much for the show.
Thank you. Oh, and one question. Where were you able to travel to?
Well, I traveled across the country for a few months. I lived in Chicago for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I traveled up into Canada, lived in Canada for a couple of years before I went to India and to London and lived in London for a year. And it wasn't that I necessarily had planned any of that ahead of time, mm-hmm. but part of what I was learning was how to get along in the world, period. And then it was necessary to support myself. So, you know, staying and working in a place was important, and I ended up in England for quite a while doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I did have done some traveling since then in Mexico, and I did take my daughter to Mexico once or twice when she was younger. And I also want to say that the years and years of Spanish I took in high school and college really didn't amount to anything until I'd been in Mexico for at least 3 days and broke through my fear of speaking and started really getting what it's like to communicate with other people in another language. And
yeah.
it's really important. So, yeah, I hope that you get to travel even further and wider. There's so much great information that comes from being on somebody else's street in some other country.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, you know, like Laytonville, I live in Willits now, people have an idea of what to expect from you as who you are now and who they've known for the last 15 years or so. When you're traveling, that's not usually the case, that
mm-hmm.
people don't have an expectation of you. And I think there's a lot to be learned about who you are in new experiences because you're not just fulfilling expectations, mm-hmm. you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Right.
So, thanks again.
Well, thank you, caller.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Thank you. A lot, you know, there's a lot of kids who also go, who are foreign exchange students. There's a girl from Laytonville who's a foreign exchange student right now. If you were to go anywhere to be a foreign exchange student, where would you go?
Well, my family is all from Sweden, like 5 generations back, I think. And I probably still have relatives there. And I think I'd really want to go there and actually learn my heritage and learn my culture there. I'd probably fit in very well. I'm still very blonde.
Yeah. You know, it's so neat, like we were talking about this. The world is just so different. Like, you can go to different countries and you just feel like, wow, like, I didn't even know this existed. I didn't know that, you know, people do this. I didn't know that, you know, they learn this. It's just so different, and it's neat to think that, you know, we're all so different, but we're still part of the same earth. We're still part of the same world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I mean, is there anything that you, like, a specific culture that you would want to learn more about?
I'd actually really like to more learn about, like, the Indian culture, just because, like, they have such a big land, and they, like, there's so many of them, and we just, like, never hear about them here.
Mm-hmm.
And they have such beautiful artwork, and their food is so good. and I just think it'd be really nice to travel there and, like, learn, see how they live and, like, try and live how they do. And, like, I think it'd be really educational just to know different cultures about them and, like, learn how they live their lives and, like, maybe bring that into your life.
Yeah. So, once again, the phone number is 456-9991. Please call in. We'd like to know, you know, what percentage of your education occurred away from school. You know, were you a foreign exchange student? Did you go to school somewhere else? Are you from California? So please call in. We really appreciate your calls.
Jenny, I know that you go to China all the time. Is there another culture that you would like to go learn about more?
I think the African culture, too. You know, just because it's so different, I would love to go to Africa and just for a couple months. And I don't know, it's just anything that's different and new to me is exciting because, you know, my entire life I've lived in the United States, you know, besides going to China for a couple months. But basically my life is just in the United States. And so it's hard to imagine life anywhere else. And, you know, you were saying how in India, you know, the culture is just extremely different. You know, how it's like that for every other country. And just to be able to kind of open your mind to, you know, what other cultures are like. And it's just mind-boggling.
I think that, like, if you went to a different culture and you stayed there for a while, you would learn their customs and everything. What do you realize about yourself when you were in China?
Basically, you know, it's this, you know, half of me is Chinese, so it's just my culture that's, you know, you learn more about it. Oh, caller? Caller, you're on the air?
Oh, thank you for a wonderful show. I wanted to ask the girl who's half Chinese I tuned in late, so maybe you already spoke about your experience in China, what cities you went to, what you did. So I'd like to hear about that.
Okay.
Did you already talk about
that? No. Oh.
Thank you. Hang up.
Well, thank you, caller. So basically, when we go to China, you know, I've got family in China. It's, you know, for experiences, we go, you know, to different cities. It's funny, like, you know, I live in Branscombe, and, you know, to come to Willits, it's like 40 miles. When you're in China, and I live in Shanghai when I'm in China, and you drive 40 miles, it seems like you're going across the country because it's just so different. I mean, just driving, like people in China, they don't travel that much by car, you know, to travel 40 minutes away. That's a long time. And, you know, basically when we travel 40 minutes away, we stay at a motel overnight because it's exhausting to travel that far, which is weird to think about. But, for the culture and stuff, it's really different. You know, the food's really different. And, you know, I don't really know. It's basically I'm kind of lost.
Well, when you're there, like, do you try and bring stuff into, like, your life when you come back? Like, do you think about what you did there and, like, how that you can help yourself learn more about it when you come home and, like, you bring that culture into your living here?
Yeah. I do bring a lot of, you know, my mom's Chinese, and so we do have a lot of stuff that we bring back from China, you know, culturally. You know, we use chopsticks all the time. But it's nice to have a mixture of different cultures. You know, it'd be great to go to, you know, a whole bunch of countries and be able to bring back, you know, their ideas and what they live, you know, by and for. And, you know, going back to how, you know, the world is just so different. I mean, the world is so small now, but we're all just so different.
there's so many cultures in the world, and it would be great to, if you could just know all of them. Mm-hmm. You'd be so privileged. It's hard to think about, like, if you had a little piece of every single culture in you, you could just, you'd be, like, most open-minded and most, like, outstanding person in the world.
Yeah, definitely.
You'd learn so much.
Yep. All right. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I had a question for Jenny about her trips to China. Mm-hmm. Do you have cousins or relatives who are around your age? Are they all a lot older than you?
Well, I've got one cousin who is around 8 or 9. And so I can, you know, I could talk and play with him. Mm-hmm. I've got my mom's cousin is a sophomore in college.
Mm.
I don't get to see her very often, but basically, you know, I've got my grandparents, and there's not very many, as in, like, friends my age.
Mm-hmm.
In China, there aren't very many. I'm sure if I lived there, like, there would be more in my neighborhood,
right,
that I'd realize. But, you know, just being there is really fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can hang out with my cousin, 8 or 9.
I was wondering whether your relatives are very curious about what your life is like in the States, because it's like they're getting a bit of an education every time you mm-hmm. go there, it seems like.
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
they ask you a lot of questions about it?
Not so much. They've been, you know, they've been to the United, or both my grandparents and my uncle, they've been here.
Uh-huh.
But it is kind of different, you know, a couple years ago, in middle school I had braces, and I'd go to China and they'd just be like, what are those on your teeth? And it was funny. Or like when I pierced my ears, they, you know, it's just different because, you know, I mean, they weren't angry or they weren't upset by anything, but it was just really interesting to them.
Right.
And, you know, it's the same as, you know, when I go to China, I see people there with, you know, like different hairstyles or mm-hmm. something. And it's just so different and we're just so, like, curious about them, and
mm-hmm.
so that's basically, yeah, and, mm-hmm. I mean, they do talk to me about life at home.
Mm-hmm. How long do you stay when you go?
We usually stay a couple, well, around 5 weeks.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it gets shorter because we're in high school now, and so.
Do you speak the language at all when
yeah,
you're there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yep, my mom, she taught us when we were little.
That's great.
Yeah, and so it helps a lot when you know the language, and so you feel like you're still a part of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks.
Well, thank you, caller.
Thanks a lot. Do your relatives ask about what your life is in Branscombe ever? Like, because Branscombe is so different. It's so much smaller.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, they came to Branscombe. See, my grandma came a couple years ago. My grandpa came 3 or 4 years ago. And so they know what it's like, but, you know, they don't like it. It's just, you know, they come from a city with 16 million in it. You know, Laytonville Branscombe only has 1,000 to 2,000 people. And it's, you know, they came, and we live out in the middle of nowhere. And so they're just like, wow, you know, where are we? They thought we were camping or something because it's just so far away. But, you know, they enjoy spending time with us, and it's so fun whenever they come. But it's just a big culture shock to them, too, you know. But my grandma, she likes it. She, you know, walks around, and she goes and looks at our garden. And so it's really fun, but it is a big shock to them. Yeah.
I know their education is free here, but what is education like there? Like, is the school free or what?
Yeah. They have the public school system, and there's private schools too. But what's funny is that there's so many kids applying for colleges that you basically, you either get your first choice or your third choice. And it's funny, you never get your second choice. So you either get your first choice or third choice or your second choice or fourth choice at colleges. And so it's almost like gambling. You think, okay, do I have good enough grades to get into my first choice of school? And if I don't, you know, I'm not going to get my second choice. I'm going to get my third choice. So it's this big gamble.
So you pretty much have to, like, figure out what you want to do. Like, if you don't have mm-hmm. the good enough grades, you kind of want to put your first choice school in your third place or mm-hmm. even your second, depending on what your grades are.
Yeah.
Mm. And callers, can you remember an event outside the classroom that was profound, exceptional experience? Please call 456- 9991. Your ideas and opinions are very important to us.
Can you think of outside of school experience that you enjoyed, that, I mean, still taught you?
Well, I mean, my sister, she just lives, she lives in Santa Rosa, and that's like 2 hours away from here. Mm-hmm. And just traveling from here to there, you see so many different things. And I think it's really interesting, like, when she comes up here, she's like, oh my God, it's so hot, because down there, it doesn't really get that warm. Like, it's like 70 degrees there, like, at the most, 80. Mm-hmm. And so she, like, comes down here, and she's, like, in love with it, because she really likes the weather up here, and, like, and we'll go down there, and when it's really hot down here, we'll be like, oh my God, this is so mm-hmm. nice. And I just think that being outside the classroom, learning about different weather and activities and anything will just help you and be a better person. Like, you learn more about everything. Like, school isn't just your whole life. When you get out mm-hmm. of school, you still have to live your life.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I think that, you know, colleges are incorporating that more into, you know, what they're looking for. They want a real well-rounded student. They don't want somebody who spends, you know, their entire, you know, week studying. You know, they want a lot of community service and, you know, a well-rounded student. And I think that's really important because ultimately, like, you know, okay, so you're studying, but what else do you do that you enjoy? Like, I really enjoy playing the piano, so I do that. And, you know, I think it's important to do what you like as well.
I know that, like, I try and do as much as I can, but sometimes it does get really hard to do as much as you can. Like, I know I'm in a lot of clubs at school, including the Multicultural Club, mm-hmm. which you are also in, and we try and learn about as many cultures as we can, even yeah. through school. Like, they try and show us as much as they can, mm-hmm. as well as education on even those cultures and everything that goes on in other countries.
And it's funny, too, to see the, you know, our Multicultural Club advisor, Ms. Hergert, was showing us maps from, I think it was from Japan, and then a map from the United States. And it is funny to see where people, you know, the map, of course, you know, it's the same map, but where the countries, you know, how big the countries are on the different maps, you know, where they're strategically, you know, put. And on the United States map, you know, on the map of the world that United States made, the United States was further up. And then on the one that Japan made, you know, Japan was further up. And so it was funny how, you know, they were kind of, you know, making each country kind of look bigger by the way they put their country on the map. And it's funny because, you know, it's the same map, but there's a lot being said by just looking at that map.
Yeah, and even just, like, the geography of where we live, like, if someone's closer to the ocean or someone's farther inland, it's just even so different. Like, people who live close to the ocean, they learn how to fish and how to just use things that are around them that they can eat and take care of themselves out there. Whereas out here, we learn how to, like, hunt, or we used to learn how to hunt and, like, grow food more just because of the climate changes and, like, how different we are grammatically.
Mm-hmm. So, there's a... All right. So, we want listeners to point out educational opportunities inside the classrooms here in Mendocino County. And so, please call in. Our phone number is 456-9991. And, you know, listeners, tell us what new things you learned from our community or what, you know, you brought to our community. The phone number is, once again, 456-9991. There are approximately 12 minutes left, so please call in.
Yes, we love to hear from you.
Yes.
Jenny, there's lots of things that can actually help you with education about learning other things, like mm-hmm. libraries and, like, books and everything. And most people, they spend their lives reading books about other cultures but never go there. What do you think is the optimum? Would you rather read a book about a culture or go there?
Oh, I would definitely want to go there. You know, when you read about, you know, you can sit in your living room and just read about a culture, and, you know, you can feel like, okay, well, I'm there, but not, you don't really get half of it until you're actually in that culture and you're actually talking to people in that culture. I mean, because when you're learning about stuff, you really want to be focused on, you know, what are the people doing?
So, because you don't really know that.
Yeah. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I was calling earlier. You had mentioned talking about well-rounded students, and I just wanted to point out I went to school at a college in North Carolina that was a work college, mm-hmm. and I think it's a really interesting model for young people who are interested in taking a little bit more of a well-rounded approach. The school that I went to had what was called a triad system, mm-hmm. and the requirements for graduation included working on a crew at the school, so all of the basic services that the school provides for students were done by students, and then there was also a community service aspect, a requirement of community service hours before graduation. So for those of you who are still in high school, I just wanted to point it out as an opportunity. There's a number of different work colleges in the country. The one that I was talking about is called Warren Wilson College in North Carolina. But I really enjoyed it, and I felt like it was a really well-rounded experience, and I think it's a good option for people.
Did you feel that people enjoyed helping, or did you feel that they were kind of just like, oh, okay, well, I have to do this to graduate?
Oh, no. I think that it was a really great experience for most of the students involved. Mm-hmm. I think it really fostered a sense of ownership mm-hmm. and responsibility for the place and for the community with the students. And for a lot of students also, it was kind of interesting because it turned into a situation where they would stay in school because work was fulfilling to them. So maybe for students who aren't that strong academically, they can feel like they're very involved and enjoying mm-hmm. the work aspect of their education, and that will be the incentive to get them to finish the academic side. So I think mm-hmm. that it was really beneficial, and I just think it's something that high schoolers should know about because it was a great option for me. So
that would be wonderful at our high school.
Yes, because most kids don't even know about that. They know about, like, there's this program that where instead of, like, finishing high school, you notice it's like a work schooling thing where it's just like a different kind of high school for kids that don't want to go to college more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like apprenticeship programs. Yeah, those are out there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for the show.
Well, thank you, caller.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, take care.
Thank you. Yeah, that, I really like that idea because, you know, the school, it would be so nice to involve everybody in a group project at school. You know, we have landscaping club, you know, and they do projects, but it would be nice to be able to do this ongoing project year-round, just involving all the kids, and the school would look wonderful, and the kids would feel, you know, like I helped put that together.
Yeah, I know we just got our new high school a couple years ago, and our school looks great, but the landscaping of it, the stuff's still new, like the trees and stuff that we planted are only a couple feet tall. And so, like, if our school, like, helped, like, build lattices and everything that stuff can grow on and planted more things, our school would beautify so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, a big part of, you know, school is enjoying that you're, you know, enjoying your surroundings. And, you know, if you don't want to go someplace where, you know, it doesn't feel warm, it doesn't feel nice, you know, to be there. So, but, you know, our school is nice, and we, you know, we're working on making it, like, personal. And
yeah, I know our campus is actually an open campus where we don't have, like, enclosed hallways and everything. So
yeah,
we actually get to experience the outdoors and everything. And I think that's a really helpful thing for the kids who are wanting to live out, to work in farms and everything like that.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that college that, the colleges she was talking about were really, like, because some of the kids at our school, they don't want to go to, like, just be, like, learn to be a doctor or anything. They like jobs that they can actually do, and that's really helpful for them.
Mm-hmm. Really. So we have close to 5 minutes left. Last chance to call, 456-9991. We really appreciate your phone calls. Thank you.
Towards the end of our show, I think it's actually a point to point out that, our schools are very, you do learn about different cultures and everything, but I think schools aren't as helpful with, like, ongoing stuff, like, in your communities and stuff, and helping them would actually be really great for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Students who volunteer and everything, I think they are better out, like, well-rounded, open-minded people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, to help your community, especially a community that gives so much to us, like, who wouldn't want to help
you know, the community that, you know, gives us so much money, gives us so much support. I mean, during homecoming week, it's just so impressive to see, you know, everybody so involved in our school. And, you know, that's just a big advantage to living in such a small community.
But no, everyone's so helpful. Like, everyone's so excited and so happy to be going back to school. And I think that's really helpful, especially at the beginning of the year, because I know it's, like, kids are like, oh, I have to go back to school now after the long summer where they've had so much fun. And then, like, getting homecoming right at the beginning makes it so they are, like, excited for school and can't wait till the next year.
Yeah. So, we have around 5 minutes left. Please call. All right. So, and, you know, a big part of going on trips is the group companionship. When we went on our DC trip, you know, it was a group of around 9 or 10 students and then 2 adults. And it was really fun because you were going with your friends and you felt closer to them after you came back. And you know, that's a big part of going, you know, it's not fun to go by yourself and be by yourself, but when you're with a group, and you have friends along with you, you tend to learn more, too. You tend to enjoy the experience more. And I think that's a big part of, you know, going on the trip. And we're so fortunate to be included in this trip, too. So there's a quote here that says, "We have a general cultural notion that if children were not engineered, if we did not manipulate them, they would grow up as beasts in the field. This is the wildest fallacy in the world." So, do you believe in this, Laura?
Well, it depends on the person, actually, but I think that it will, like, you have to learn for everything, like, even just being around your parents or your friends or your sisters and brothers and stuff, you learn everything. So, I'm not totally believing that, but I think it is a very strong point to show that that is true.
But, you know, I mean, in this day and era, it's almost impossible to live without going to school. I mean, it can be done, but it seems like, you know, socially people are, you know, okay, you need to go to school, you need to go to school, you need to, you know, get a job after you go to school or go to college. But, you know, the thing is, if, I mean, you can go your entire life without going to school and still be a functioning person. I mean, you're not going to be, you would not grow up like a beast in the field. I mean, it's funny to think about. You're not going to become an animal just because you don't go to school.
Yes. Also, I just think, like, it is harder because people, when you're, like, applying for a job and stuff, and that you, they look at you and they read your transcript, like, oh, you haven't gone to school. Why didn't you do that? And, like, so it is harder to get a job and stuff. So our culture is, like, harder for people who don't go to school. Mm-hmm. And they just show that way.
Definitely. You know, school is a good thing. I mean, it's wonderful. I love learning. And so it's so nice when you go to class and you learn something new and you get it and you realize how it applies to, you know, everyday life. Like last year in physics, it was so fun because we realized, oh, that's, you know, that's why this happens and that's why this happens. And, you know, in history, it's fun because I love learning about the past. And so, but, you know, without that kind of stuff, I wouldn't feel complete, but, you know, I'd still be able to live.
Also, I know from fourth grade to seventh grade, I was in independent study where there was only a couple kids in my class, and it was a very wide variety of ages. Like, I think there was only one person my age in my class.
Mm.
And so we had kids from fourth grade to eighth grade all through the years, and I thought it was really helpful because you had mentoring and, helpful just in the classroom. Even the little kids were teaching the older kids how to do this stuff, like art projects and stuff, and make them remember what they did. And I think it was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Elora, and
Jenny.
Thanks to our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willits studio. Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with HALT, Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville's Healthy Start program. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984-8089. I'm going to repeat that number, 984-8089, or visit their website at www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. You Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached at mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.uspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, and get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. That's www.uspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of June, the 28th, at 2 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month.